information is free.
The law?
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge,
we care.
Here to border
and it shows.
The law?
The country.
You will remember nothing you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
We want you to act like nothing's wrong, even though you heard a sound. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 180th episode of Media Monarchy. It's July 30th, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. This week, a big week for secret leaks, wider wars, and the future of the web. Netanyahu, NORAD, and Noble Eagle, BioWars, Dark Marks, and 100 Days of Oil. All that, so much more. All the latest alternative news from Food World Order, Cyberspace World, New World next week. It's all here, July 30th, 2010, episode 180 of MediaMonarchy.com. You simply cannot hide from the ugly truth. Going all the way back to 1993, from his record Altered Beast. That was Matthew Sweet. Actually saw him that year at the HF Festival at RFK in the District of Criminals, going way back to my teenage years. But now, damn it, it's my 30 years. And I'm bringing you all the alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups that your little heart can handle. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. It's episode 180, and it's July 30th, 2010, and we're broadcasting live, as always, from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, and simulcast live, thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. Blasting out worldwide online as well, 92.3 FM and 1670 AM in Casper, Wyoming. The worldwide home of free speech, revereradio.net, all simulcasting, MediaMonarchy.com live, and a huge thanks to all those outlets. As well, Free Radio Olympia, 98.5 FM in Olympia, Washington, frolympia.org, Berkeley Liberation Radio.net, 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California, OneSkyRadio.com on 90.7 FM in Kiseelof, Alaska, KWMD. And of course, Radio23.org supplies the high-quality downloads of Media Monarchy episodes suitable for rebroadcast for your alternative news outlet, pirate, internet, community, radio, whatever you got. You don't have to ask. And again, a huge thanks to some of the other stations out there that have picked up the show and some of the other new developments that we'll announce to you as we shake them out. You can get in touch with me at facebook.com/MediaMonarchy and all the rest using Media Monarchy as your keyword or username or .com/. Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, YouTube, ustream.tv/MediaMonarchy. Streaming live video as we speak worldwide, episode 180 here. Blip TV, home of NewWorldNextWeek.com, high quality downloads of my weekly video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. You can get a cool Media Monarchy t-shirt on CafePress.com/MediaMonarchy. Send me email, Gmail, Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, Radio for All.net, Archive.org, all those sources and more to get and spread this open source information and intelligence. And something that's going to come up in this episode as we're trying to take information, raw data information, and somehow turn it into more knowledge and information. And we can't do it alone. None of us can. I know I sure as hell can't. We'd also like to remind you and thank you for donations. You can see the donate button there on the top right of MediaMonarchy.com. Your support helps keep alternative media going and growing. ZeroPointRadio.com needs your help. And a good way to do that would be to get your tickets, to get your virtual tickets for Clyde Lewis and his 2012 presentation that's going to happen live tonight in Portland, Oregon at the Kenton Masonic Lodge. But if you're not in the People's Republic of Oregon, you can go to ZeroPointRadio.com and you can listen live. You can get cutting-edge, exclusive information, and you can help support that outlet. That's how it goes. That's how it works and loops and connects. So much to go over this week. And again, welcome to new and returning listeners wherever, whenever you may be, anywhere in the world. It's a big tent approach. It's a big tent and one-man band, but everybody's welcome. We're nonpartisan here. We know that the fix is in and all the phony solutions that our misleaders put up for us just further their agenda, and when you dig behind the scenes, I think you will find that the same people that cause the problems then pose as our saviors. So as we like to, we always like to look at what's going on in the breaking news, again, as we're broadcasting live on this July 30th morning, 2010. U.S. growth slows in second quarter. Surprise, surprise. New boss vows no BP pullback from Gulf oil crisis. and WikiLeaks founder disappointed by Gates' remarks. Yes, of course, WikiLeaks is the main story that we're going to get into in this episode. Now, of course, no shortage of ink has been spilled about this, but hopefully in some kind of efficient way, we can blast through this story, shed some light on it, hopefully whet your appetite to go find more. And again, that's how this all works. And at least, fortunately, when I looked at Google News a few minutes before showtime, the top of the news was that somebody's leaving or coming on to American Idol. And that's what we're fighting against the lowest common denominator dumbing down of the public. Because again, all this mass information is available, but it's buried. It's, you know, when they roll the Ark into the warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's like that on a number of levels. So, we've already broken the barrier. We've already invoked the name. So let's get into secret leaks, wider wars, and the future of the web. This story broke this past Sunday, and I just have the mainline Associated Press report up, and this is what I introed on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. Posted up on Media Monarchy, largest intel leak in history, WikiLeaks drops Afghan war diaries. Some 90,000 leaked U.S. military records posted online Sunday, July 25th, amount to a blow-by-blow account of 6 years of the Afghanistan war, including unreported incidents of Afghan civilian killings, as well as covert operations against Taliban figures. The online whistleblower, WikiLeaks.org, posted the documents on its website Sunday. The New York Times, The London Guardian, and Der Spiegel were given early access to the documents. The White House condemned the document disclosure, saying it, quote, put the lives of Americans and our partners at risk. The leaked records include detailed descriptions of raids carried out by a secretive U.S. Special Ops unit called Task Force 373. According to The New York Times, the documents suggest Pakistan, quote, allows representatives of its spy service to meet directly with the Taliban in secret strategy sessions to organize networks of militant groups that fight against American soldiers in Afghanistan and even hatch plots to assassinate Afghan leaders. The Guardian, however, interpreted the documents differently, saying they fail to provide a convincing smoking gun for complicity between the Pakistan intelligence services and the Taliban. Now, when we're talking about Pakistan Intelligence Service, it's called ISI, Inter-Services Intelligence. They were partly set up with help from the Central Intelligence Agency. And we'll go ahead and put it out now, the first of many references to the official conspiracy theory of 9/11, the head of the ISI, Mahmoud Ahmed. He's the alleged paymaster of Muhammad Atta. He wired money to him. He was in D.C. He was meeting with Joe Biden. And I believe Porter Goss. That's all just off the top of my head. You double check me. And we have reported time and time again on the funding of the Taliban. And again, the paymasters. And this all happens under the guise of the global war of terror, although decades ago it was under the guise of the war against communism. And again, these are all dichotomies that when you dig behind the scenes, you're going to find that both all sides are generally funded by the same sources for their agendas. And there's multitude of layers there, and there's a lot of different groups being played off of each other. And that comes down to you and I, all the way to the Taliban and the military. So that's one thing, several things we need to put on the record there. Now, we should also hop back to the late 70s, shouldn't we? And we should know something about Operation Cyclone and how this connects to the whole deal of going in to Afghanistan to fund the Mujahideen, to draw in the Soviet Union, to give them their Vietnam. Carter's national security advisor is Zbigniew Brzezinski. We just heard from him recently on Media Monarchy. One of Obama's big advisors in a somewhat shadowy manner. All the same folks are all around. Even if you believe the official conspiracy theory of 9/11, it was still guys that we funded and trained to fight some other guy, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And even the official story of that is the Soviets invaded, so we had to go in and we had to train the locals. But, again, Brzezinski has admitted, as again the elites can't help either sooner or later to reveal their method and to essentially brag and to return to the scenes of war crimes. I believe he had admitted it to La Nouvelle Observateur several years ago. We went there first to draw in the Soviets. We created Al-Qaeda, which means the base, which means the database, which means the database of Mujahideen fighters that can act as mercenaries, that we can play both ends against the middle. These are the things that we need to put into perspective in this story. Fortunately, and again, this is something we discuss exclusively on the latest episode of The New World next week. We take the whole 10 minutes to talk about this secret leaks story. Fortunately, a lot of folks in the alternative media have cast a skeptical eye on this. A lot of great sites. And some of the ones that we're going to hit and dive into a little more, of course, Cryptogon.com, as well as my man Jeff Long from the District of Criminals. He runs redactednews.blogspot.com and is affiliated with DC 911 Truth, as well as Rock Creek Free Press. .com. Of course, the great free newspaper that, again, if folks, you know, if you've donated to me recently, along with your 2020 Hindsight exclusive DVD from Richard Grove of TragedyandHope.com, I fold up issues of Rock Creek Free Press and send those out to you. So again, trying to take something that kind of exists mostly in DC and spread it out. Physically, virtually, digitally. So if we look at Redacted News, he's got a good collection of the breakdown on this. And what we want to say, and what I should have already said, but here we are. What was the last thing I said on the previous episode? We were going over 9/11 stories, and we went over the fascinating story of the wooden ship from the 1700s that was discovered in Ground Zero. And after we went through that story and played the clip, I hit a couple of other just kind of related, unrelated 9/11 updates. And the last thing I said was, hey, there's a new interview article where Julian Assange, the head of WikiLeaks, says he's constantly annoyed by people being distracted by false conspiracies such as 9/11. That was the last thing we said last week on the show, and then a mere 36 hours later, WikiLeaks dropped the Afghan war logs, of course, in conjunction with the New York Times and the basically the biggest papers in the Western world. So Assange comments, and it was to the Belfast Telegraph. So basically, he's ignorant of the vast body of material that shows that the 9/11 event was a false flag operation of some sort. Or, two, he's picking his battles and didn't want to deal with the inevitable conspiracy theory stigma that could threaten his media access that he's so well cultivated. That's number two. And number three, he's running a limited hangout honeypot. So of those three options, we doubt that it's number two. And again, this is coming from Cryptogon. and then the Afghan War diaries drop. Immediately following him going on the record about being annoyed at 9/11 Truth. The story was so massive, and one of the things, and it's hard, I don't think I was as articulate as I wanted to be in the latest episode of New World Next Week in talking about all the connections around and surrounding the story. And again, that's what we want to try and do, is give you the context and the subtext to all these stories so that you'll remember and put pieces together and share the info. The things we're not talking about and the things they get focused on in this story. What gets the most attention? What did we hear in the AP breakdown I just read for you as the intro? That the ISI is secretly backing the Taliban and other documents demanding that the Pakistani government turn decisively against the militants, creating a justification for U.S. ops inside Pakistan and a possible pretext for even a full-on invasion of the country. And a few months ago, we were reading, just as I told you, just as we've reported here, that the U.S. were funding the Taliban, linked to The Guardian, for one. So, of course, WikiLeaks made their massive name several weeks ago with the collateral murder story, which we covered in great detail, and perhaps we're at fault here, too, for playing into what is starting to smell more and more fishy. And again, we don't want to do that, and we also don't want to act like we're the ultimate purveyors and I've got it all figured out. Because again, like I said, I know I sure as hell don't. As we get further into this, and again, talk about the things that we're not talking about, we also want to mention, in the whole raft of updates connected to WikiLeaks, we also want to remember that last week we were talking about Top Secret America from the Washington Post. Again, as we're supposed to be so thankful to the Washington Post and the New York Times now for reporting on an organization doing the work they should be doing. That's a level of it. And especially in the case of the New York Times, when they're the very same mighty Wurlitzer outlets that led the charge to get into these wars of aggression based on lies. So again, we just want to reference all the great alternative media discussing this story, like the aforementioned Redacted News, like Steve Watson, Paul Joseph Watson, like Chris Floyd, whose article, WikiLeaks Revelations Will Comfort Warmongers and Confirm Conventional Wisdom. And he starts it off with a nice quote from Casablanca, where Captain Renault is just shocked to find something illegal going on. Again, as if we should be shocked at these things that we were already, for the most part, aware of. And the same thing that Jeremy Scahill said about last week's Top Secret America Washington Post expose. Breaking news, corporate media investigates. The same ones who led the charge to war. And I've heard allusions made to this massive leak being akin to something like Colin Powell doing the yellow cake. Did he know he was running with faulty lies? People debate that. We don't have time to do that right here. WikiLeaks docs target Pakistan. And again, the link back with Cryptogon.com on Julian Assange, constantly annoyed that people are distracted by false conspiracies such as 9/11. The Guardian goes into Obama enlisting the Afghan war diary leak in support of the surge. And again, that's one thing they'll say against these documents. Well, they don't count the part where we did the Afghan surge late last year, one of the other Afghan surges. It's all limited hangout. We also discovered that the New York Times crawled to the Obama administration for instructions on what they should do with all these documents that WikiLeaks gave them a couple weeks in advance. of goatsandmen.blogspot.com. It gets into Afghanistan, questions U.S. silence over Pakistan's role. Army opens criminal probe into Afghan war files leak. And we've also learned in the leaked files, buried among the 92,000 classified documents released Sunday by WikiLeaks, is some intriguing evidence that the U.S. military in Afghanistan has adopted a PR strategy that got it into trouble in Iraq, paying local media outlets to run friendly stories. That's straight from Yahoo News. And it's all a media game. And we know that. What do they say? You know, the first casualty of war is the truth. There's also a good one from Jack Blood of DeadlineLive.info getting into the George Soros connections to WikiLeaks being set up in a partnership with what's called OSI, Open Society Institute, a George Soros outlet. Again, if you're not familiar with George Soros, go to CorbyReport.com and check out the episode, Meet George Soros. And again, you'll find these same families and organizations funding all sides of this fake left-right paradigm they keep us in. Hey, you know what is no secret? That Afghanistan is a quagmire. More on that from Truth Dig. It also comes out in these documents that Osama bin Laden is alive. So that's the main thing that we get from this, from the corporate media that's reporting it, is that we need to go after Pakistan, and we need to still go after Emmanuel Goldstein, all based on the lie of the official 9/11 conspiracy theory. The Register.co.uk is a great one. Hypnotic illusions at the WikiLeaks show. And we're going to get into a couple of clips concerning this. And again, we're not going to take the whole episode to discuss this, but it's worth discussing, and especially what we're not discussing. And you'll notice a lot of times in the media when stories of this nature come out, the debate ends up being not about the contents, but about how it was done or released, or should it have been done. And we don't actually get into any of the meat and potatoes about what's going on and about, ultimately, what's being done in all our names. Still. John Young of Cryptome.org recently interviewed again on CorbyReport.com, but he was also on CNN recently talking about his WikiLeaks skepticism.
Let's return to our top story of the day. WikiLeaks release of documents that it says may be evidence of war crimes in Afghanistan. Really? Well, we're joined now by John Young, a WikiLeaks co-founder and someone who left the whistleblower website a few years ago in a dispute over credibility. He is in New York. John, great to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Right from the get-go, let's talk about why you left WikiLeaks.
They revealed that they were intending to raise $5 million in the first year, and I had a problem with that scale of money raising. So I criticized it and said that the only way you could raise that kind of money that fast would be for some corrupt source of money or a government agency. So they booted me off the list.
What is the risk that some of the leaks that come the way of WikiLeaks, or any, you have your own site, you know, that's still out there, could be coming from intelligence agencies that really, you know, want to see the information leaked.
That's right. Leaks are typically manipulated. There are no clean leaks. Every leak is a form of manipulated information. That's the nature of leaks. That's why they're out there. And so that whoever leaks something, and that's a term I don't like very much, but whoever leaks something leaks it with an agenda.
Now, when they leak it with an agenda, it draws into question, you know, why they would do that. It's interesting to note that all of this data that we're getting in these 91,000 documents really predates the Obama administration, holds out an ally, Pakistan, puts them under severe pressure, something that the Obama administration was already doing.
That's correct. One of the things that's important to me in doing somewhat similar is the main thing that you need to check is whether documents are genuine or not. And I should point out, and I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere else, this is the first leak of digital documents. There are no paper records here. I can't find any paper records. It's all digital. I've looked at the Guardian site, the New York Times site, and the WikiLeaks sites. As far as I can see, everything is digital. And digital material is notoriously forgeable and manipulable and corruptible. There's no provenance for this information. Now, WikiLeaks knows this. They're experts at authenticating digital documents by cryptography. They did not do that in this case. So we actually don't know if anything has been leaked at all that is legitimate. And I'm surprised that the New York Times and the Guardian and Der Spiegel did not do some true technical authentication. They have not revealed it if they have.
All right. You know, one of the things that I think you have pointed out is that the WikiLeaks is saying they're going to help to defend a young private first class, Manning is his name, who's charged with leaking video from Iraq that shows people being killed in a helicopter gunship incident there. And you say that they had already raised $1 million and they're begging for $200,000.
Well, there's an issue of how they handled finances. However, I should say that WikiLeaks is notorious for promoting itself and exaggerating its capabilities. It's one of the things that is different from our site. But they are expert at overstatement. They're also hardly ever understate their situation.
All right.
And so it's hard to tell for sure based on what they say. So I say look at the documents. And in this case, we have only digital documents. First time anything like this has ever been done at the scale of digital documents.
All right. John Young, I want to thank you for being with us. Visit John's site, Cryptome, CryptoMe.org on the Internet. Straightforward release of documents by a man who doesn't make any money doing it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's some pretty decent, fair coverage of John Young of Cryptome.org on the corporate news network. Now, we mentioned one of the Google breaking news headlines about WikiLeaks head angry at what Gates said, and we do have a link to referring to that Danger Room top U.S. officer. They're actually talking about Mullen, the Joint Chiefs head. WikiLeaks might have blood on its hands. And in other news, the pot called the kettle something. The last clip directly relating to secret leaks and wider wars and the future of the web and how this is all connected comes from Frank Lordy, who runs a great site called wiseasserpents.com. He's connected with Chris White of Nowhere to Run, Nowhere to Run. You might recall back in the archives of Media Monarchy, we covered Frank Lordy's great video on Project Bluebeam, a possible fake rapture, and its connection to a possible War of the Worlds style hoax alien invasion slash religious worldwide event. And again, Operation Bluebeam, War of the Worlds, mass hysteria, something we're quite interested in here on MediaMonarchy.com. But again, from wiseasserpents.com, WikiLeaks plays the sucker with Afghanistan, war logs with Pakistan, Iran, and free speech all in the crosshairs.
I'm going to talk about the WikiLeaks Afghanistan war logs thing that's going on now and why I just don't trust any of it. It just stinks big time to me. And I'll try to do it as quickly and as simply as I can. I wrote an article. It's kind of long dealing with this, but I've got all the links for what I'm going to be talking about within that article. So, feel free. I'm going to put a link here on this page so you can go and find it and then dig through the stuff for yourself to validate what I'm saying. Now, this whole thing started with this guy from WikiLeaks being on the run. You know, first, the first video from Iraq came out, and, there was rumors that there were more documents, a large pile of documents he was going to release, and so he was on the run. And we had countless news stories talking about how the Pentagon was after him and they were going to do whatever they had to do in order to stop him from getting these documents out. And he was warned not to come to America. He needed it, very, very literally fearing for his safety. And afterwards, it's come out that the White House did absolutely nothing. They had absolutely no part in trying to scare this guy. Through back channels, they sent him a message asking him just to please redact information that could put troops in harm's way and, like names of soldiers and whatnot. So that was the full extent of what the White House wanted from him. And then within these documents, it's really easy to find some really damning stuff, some stuff that, you know, people will be outraged by, but a lot of that's collateral damage when you look at the scope of what's in there. And I really do think that they knew that this leak was going to happen. I really do just find the whole thing completely suspect. And here's why. You've got stuff about bin Laden's whereabouts in there. And although it makes the Obama administration look semi-incompetent because the CIA was just out there saying we haven't had actionable information on bin Laden since like 2003, these documents say otherwise. They also say he's dead, but the press is just ignoring that and focusing on the stuff that says, well, he's out there, he's been, you know, working with insurgent camps and training people and all that stuff. So that's in there. So, yes, the Obama administration looks foolish, but at the same time, you've got the specter, the ghost of the boogeyman bin Laden rearing its ugly head yet again.
So that's just a brief clip from wiseasserpents.com. And again, Frank Lordy also did great work on the controlled demolition of Washington Mutual. So again, a huge hat tip to all the great alternative media sites out there that MediaMonarchy.com looks up to. And again, it's all about us working together and sharing information while we still have the web as we do. Let's get into all the other related war horror updates. And I have them posted below this Afghan War Diaries post. And these are the things that, one, act as a perfect backdrop to the WikiLeaks story, but then also, we're not talking about them as much. So, from Global Research and Raw Story and Think Progress, U.S. war crimes, cancer rate in Fallujah worse than Hiroshima. The new study shows Fallujah's health fallout worse than Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Just 50 miles from Baghdad, Fallujah's life has never been the same since April 04 when U.S. Marines declared the entire area a free fire zone and proceeded to do what Marines do best. Packing the most destructive weaponry in the world, American soldiers laid siege to the city, deploying depleted uranium munitions, white phosphorus, and tons of conventional ballistics. Operation Vigilant Resolve went on for a full month. Though U.S. forces allowed an estimated 70,000 women, children, and elderly leave the city, to this day the campaign to recapture Fallujah is beset with allegations of war crimes. All this in the wake of shock and awe. Or shek and awe. There is renewed inquiries in the U.K. into the run-up, the trumped-up, faulty lies leading to war in Iraq. So more from the BBC. Former UN inspector Hans Blix, remember him? Well, he's back to remind us that the Iraq war was illegal. And then we connect to that from Press TV. $6 billion, that's in pounds, in the UK, unaccounted for inside UK Ministry of Defence. The British MOD has been unable to account for more than £6 billion of equipment. The government's spending watchdog said the National Audit Office, Whitehall's spending watchdog, refused last Monday to sign off on the MOD's account for the fourth consecutive year in a row. Systemic and deep-rooted problems. Indeed. And again, these are the things that are all connected, that are all in the background, that all confirm all these things. And again, 9/11 being the elephant in the room, the blank check that all these war crimes are based on, at least in the 21st century. But you can't touch that. So that was in the UK, but we, of course, know that things aren't very different here in the States, where the U.S. cannot account for $8.7 billion in Iraqi funds.
How do you misplace billions of dollars? Details on the Pentagon's major money mishap in Iraq.
You heard it right. $8.7 billion missing, dates from 2004 to 2007. A new audit shows the U.S. Defense Department is unable to properly account for billions of dollars entrusted to it by the Iraqi government to rebuild a war-ravaged nation. We're analyzing coverage of the debate from MSNBC, HLN, CNN, and the LA Times. HLN explains the audit's findings.
A U.S. government audit blames the Defense Department for not keeping track of the cash. The report says the funds could have been used inappropriately. The Pentagon has not managed the funds since 2007.
On CNN, Arwa Damon reports on where the money came from and the difficulty in finding where it went.
This is actually Iraqi money. It's oil revenue. It's surplus left over from the oil for food program. That was a time when it was really complete chaos. I mean, people were walking around with suitcases full of money trying to get things done. And billions of dollars went missing. Billions of U.S. dollars went missing back then as well. And so it would be very hard to try to recreate what happened, especially given the chaotic and difficult circumstances here. And it does certainly appear that the money is just gone. So here we have a case where the Iraqis placed their trust in the U.S. and the U.S. has failed them.
And while the LA Times says fraud isn't suspected, no one really knows for sure. The improper accounting practices add to the pattern of mismanagement, reckless spending, and in some instances, corruption uncovered by the agency since 2004. So what do you think happened to all that money? Should the Pentagon be held accountable? And what should change going forward? I'm Chan Seals for Newsy.com.
War is a racket, just like Smedley Butler said. Now, your homework would be to Google pallets plus cash plus Iraq plus Bremer. GE to pay $23 million after Iraq bribery charges. More on that from the AFP. Sherwood Ross has a great article on VeteransToday.com. Again, not exactly a news story, but again, getting into the backstory of the CIA beyond redemption and should be terminated. But if we hop over to the FBI on WTOP, FBI scrutinized over test cheating. And again, the backdrop to the WikiLeaks story. They were able to parlay this so just somehow magically into their favor and get more war funding. Now, fortunately, and the link to our own Oregonian here, Oregon Democrats all voted against more war funding, and I think that was Blumenauer and DeFazio and Wu. And yet, the House approved more Afghan war funding. U.S.-led wars to receive billions more. More from Press TV and antiwar.com. And we have the ex-CIA head back during the Bush 2 era, the previous puppet administration, where he notes that an attack on Iran seems inexorable.
When you left the CIA about 2 years ago, you said the two biggest problems facing your successor would be the Iranian nuke program and the drug smuggling and the violence from Mexico. Would you change either one of those?
No. To be accurate, counterterrorism was job one. Beyond counterterrorism, I would put counterproliferation as job two. And within counterproliferation, it is unarguably Iran. The growing problem, the one that was beginning to gnaw more aggressively at our attention, was what was going on in Mexico. And that began to become very visible to us about 2 years ago. And that's why I mentioned it as I was leaving office.
Do you think that there is any answer? I mean, Iran doesn't seem to be paying much attention to the sanctions. As far as we know, they're still trying to get nuclear capability. If it should, is there any alternative to taking out their facilities?
It seems inexorable, doesn't it? We engage, they continue to move forward. We vote for sanctions, they continue to move forward. We try to deter, to dissuade, they continue to move forward. My personal view is that Iran, left to its own devices, will get itself to that step right below a nuclear weapon, that permanent breakout stage, so the needle isn't quite in the red for the international community. And frankly, that will be as destabilizing as they're actually having a weapon. When I was in government, what we would euphemistically call the kinetic option was way down in our list. In my personal thinking, I need to emphasize that, I've begun to consider that that may not be the worst of all possible outcomes.
Ex-CIA Hayden still beating the war drums for a war and an attack on Iran, and also bringing up the specter of the brewing border war, race war, in the southern sector of the coming North American Union. But more on that later. We still have more War Horrors updates. 8-year-long ban on sex trafficking in war zones never enforced. U.S. government contractors may be engaging in sex trafficking in Iraq and Afghanistan, but officials in Washington appear to be taking no action, despite a law created to discourage the illicit behavior. According to the law approved 8 years ago by Bush II, the government is supposed to prosecute contractors who buy or sell humans and then ban the contractors from doing federal work. Agencies claim they don't have the resources to pursue companies accused of such charges. Human rights groups refuse to believe the inaction on the part of the government is due solely to limited resources. And a little more homework for you. Of course, you should be quite familiar with the clip of Cynthia McKinney grilling Rumsfeld and Myers on sex trafficking, as well as some pesky questions about 9/11 war games and terror drills. And this is what we see still goes on. War is a racket. And a couple of the latest from earlier this morning from CNN. 6,600 Arlington Cemetery graves may be mislabeled. Which, again, is more proof that even if you believe in these wars, that they're based on realities that need to be fought for America, they don't even take care of you properly. They won't take care of you when you're alive and you come back, and then they'll just throw you in the ground and mislabel your grave. And the last thing we'll note, at the very bottom, July is the deadliest month of the Afghanistan war for the U.S. Of course, it being July 30th, now at the end of the month, they can tabulate it up and say it's already the deadliest month, breaking the record of June 2010. Each month breaking the record, again, as more brothers and sisters and husbands and wives and sons and daughters go into the meat grinder based on lies, based on the official conspiracy theory of 9/11. And again, with all the things available at Assange's fingertips, he should know that we were amassing troops near Afghanistan pre-9/11. We offered them carpets of gold or carpets of bombs. Pipelines. It's all about God. Gold, oil, drugs. So again, we'll make a quick mention of the latest episode of The New World next week. Important on two notes in that it is our 40th episode, and you can now get high-quality episodes to your device of choice, your pod of choice, from newworldnextweek.com. And on this latest episode, we just go over WikiLeaks plus mainstream media hype equals, well, I think we've already said it seems to equal wider wars and also threatening the future of a free and open web. Because you can see perhaps the story being spun in a way of Joe 12-pack thinking those damn hackers, they're endangering our boys, thus leading to crackdowns. And we're going to get into it a little bit later that, of course, the corporate media calling for crackdowns on these crazy bloggers and conspiracy theorists. Another massively disturbing thing we're not talking about, because we're talking about the leak of the documents, the stories of the war horrors in the background. The Boston Globe broke the story. Intel agency workers downloaded child pornography on government networks.
So it's come down to this now. Child pornography putting our national security at risk. Think about that. A bombshell report in the Boston Globe reveals that several dozen current and former employees of the Defense Department have been investigated for buying and downloading kiddie porn, sometimes even on their computers while they were at work. Many had top security clearance at the Pentagon, access to government secrets and military installations. This is a big problem for the folks at the Pentagon. Globe reporter Brian Bender has broken the story, and he's good enough to join us now. Brian, we're not talking about clerks and secretaries here, are we?
Well, we're not, but I think it's important to note that obviously this is a fraction of people who work at the Department of Defense.
That's fair.
But you're right. But you're right. These were some individuals, a couple dozen, who were swept up as part of a larger investigation into people downloading child pornography illegally on the internet. And some of them were officials at agencies like the National Security Agency, the National Reconnaissance Office, departments within the Pentagon that do very top secret stuff.
Well, here's the problem with this. Look, all of us deserve to be private to a certain degree, and many of us have our own secrets that we like to keep. But when you start taking them to a place like that, and you're a public official with the kind of vulnerabilities like this, aren't you putting yourself in a situation where you could be blackmailed, possibly even blackmailed by one of our enemies?
Well, I think that's why the Pentagon and law enforcement were so alarmed by this. In fact, they categorized these cases as Tier 1, which meant they were a top priority to investigate because of the individuals who were allegedly involved. And you're right, they have access to secrets, military installations, and they could be compromised if someone found out that they were engaging in this activity, and they could try to blackmail them and, you know, damage American security. So they certainly were putting the country in a vulnerable position.
You know, it's funny, but, you know, Americans don't cotton to this kind of stuff, and I'm already getting tweets from people right now who are responding to this conversation that you and I are having. I mean, look at this one. Let's go to the Twitter board if we possibly can, Robin. Shoot it over here. So these Pentagon perverts in jail? And if not, why not? Sometimes the best question is just to go back to the basics. That's not a bad question, is it? What are you? Well, go ahead.
And I was going to say a good number of them have been prosecuted, but there are some cases where the government decided that they didn't have enough evidence. There is a threshold that has to be met in these cases. You have to be able to positively identify the people in the images as children or as known abuse victims. In some cases, they were not able to do that. And then in other cases, they are still pending, and investigators still hope to be able to bring charges.
But, you know, if you and I did this, because you and I work for like a public, a private company, I mean, we'd be out the door the next minute. I mean, folks here at CNN wouldn't be sitting there asking me too many questions, I don't believe. But when you're a government worker, it seems like you get a lot more shots than most people do. Why is that?
I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. You know, I think a lot of law enforcement investigations take time. They're not as easy as they sound. I think you're right. When you hear child pornography, you hear something that sounds black and white. You know, there's no way we could cop that, as you said. But, you know, you still have to prove it. You still have to build a case. And, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. So I think they're serious about it. And, you know, I think they're doing their best.
Yeah, no, you're certainly right about that. I mean, I'm talking about the cases where, you know, it's prima facie. I mean, it's right there in front of you. You know what they did. And sometimes in those cases, most employers don't sit there and give you too many reviews. They just say, you know, here's your walking papers and that's the door. But we'll follow this. Globe reporter Brian Bender, who broke this story. Job well done, sir. And thanks for coming on and sharing your information with us.
Thanks for having me.
So that was Rick Sanchez, who you may recall last week. We played a clip of him noting that recent terror attacks in Uganda might actually be helpful for the global war of terror. But that's neither here nor there. We do have links within this posting about intel agency workers downloading child porn on government networks to CNET, and of course to the full story from the Boston Globe, as well as CBS News, as well as going to historycommons.org to read a little bit about the backgrounds of some of the agencies featured in this sting, like folks from the National Security Agency, the National Reconnaissance Office, and DARPA. Of course, NRO, National Reconnaissance Office, running drills leading up to 9/11 of hijacked commercial jets crashing into government buildings. But of course, we never would have thought that terrorists would hijack planes and crash them into buildings. We'd only been drilling and practicing for that very thing. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We want to talk about how this connects to the future of the web. And as I mentioned, this story can be spun and is being spun, and it has been mentioned and said by some talking heads, I believe even officially connected, that maybe some of these documents came about through some type of hack. So again, these hackers are putting our boys at risk. We've talked about the intimate connections on a multitude of levels, but we've talked about the CIA, and their investment arm is called NQTEL. They helped invest in Facebook. They've also helped invest in Google. So now CIA's NQTEL and Google's Google Ventures have both invested at the same time in a new company called Recorded Future. investing in the future of pre-crime. We're going to take this from Danger Room, but we do have links to Redacted News and, of course, RecordedFuture.com. The investment arms of the CIA and Google are both backing a company that monitors the web in real time and says it uses that information to predict the future. The company's called Recorded Future, and it scours tens of thousands of websites, blogs, Twitter accounts to find the relationships between people, organizations, actions, and incidents, both present and still to come. In a white paper, the company says its temporal analytics engine goes beyond search by looking at the invisible links between documents that talk about the same or related entities and events. The idea is to figure out for each incident who was involved, where it happened, and when it might go down. Recorded Future then plots that chatter, showing online momentum for any given event. So, of course, this is attractive to Google and the Central Intelligence Agency. But, of course, it's not the first time Google's done business with America's spy agencies, long before it reportedly enlisted the help of the National Security Agency, with a link right back to Danger Room, this being in the wake of the supposed Chinese hack attacks of last December, getting further into bed with the NSA to secure its networks. Google sold equipment to the Secret Signals Intelligence Group. InQtel backed the mapping firm Keyhole, which was bought by Google in 2004 and then became the backbone for Google Earth. Don't be evil. Now, as long as we've been talking about all the secret leaks and wider wars, in the midst of all my plate spinning last week's episode, I missed a post. However, it works out that it's still just as pertinent to go over this week, and we're going to get it from allgov.com. Most of U.S. want Afghanistan pullout deadline. Congress says no. And again, this was all pre-secret leaks. A strong majority of Americans believe the war in Afghanistan is going badly and want Washington to establish a timetable for bringing home U.S. forces. But despite negative opinions about the war among the voters, Congress continues to oppose setting any limits on when the U.S. should pull out of the conflict. A new CBS News poll found 62% of Americans are unhappy about the war, up from 49% from May. And we have a whole other raft of war horrors updates that, again, now this puts it into a hindsight context, if you will, because we missed this post last week. U.S. drug gangs learn new tactics in Afghan-Iraq. More on that from AllGov and Raw Story. Afghan-Iraq War is teaching U.S. gang members military combat. And again, way back in the archives, we've gone over the military putting in felons, gang members, illegals, who of course are now learning how to be real militant mercenaries. And who, of course, if the doo-doo hits the oscillator with massive velocity, they won't have any problem greasing you. Because they don't give a fuck. And that's what we're looking at. June was the worst month for Army suicides. The Pain Ray, the active denial system, has been recalled from Afghanistan. But, of course, they still used it last year at the G20. In Pennsylvania. McCain applauds Raytheon's wonderful missiles. You should check that clip. Oh, and an op-ed from the president of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard Haass, where he notes that Afghanistan is not worth it. So now we see that the elites argue amongst themselves. The gangsters sometimes argue amongst themselves. They're not entirely in agreement on how the gangland should be run. Meanwhile, Biden says no exit from Afghanistan. Counterpunch has a great one on how psychologists profit on unending U.S. wars. Oh, and now we know how this one turned out from DODBuzz.com. Absent supplemental Pentagon furloughs begin next month. But now we know, in the wake of the secret leaks, Obama and the apostles of war of this current puppet administration that, again, is carrying on the same marching orders and agendas put forward by the previous puppet administration. And it all traces back to the same Brzezinskis and Kissingers and Bushes and Carlisles and Trilaterals and Bilderbergs and Bohemians, Club of Rome, Think Tank, CFR, Front Cutout Groups. That's where it goes. I think we're going to be able to wrap up all the war horror-related things here quite quickly. If we'll mention from thenational.ae, Netanyahu admitted on video that he deceived the U.S. to destroy the Oslo Accord, where he notes the world won't say a thing. So just as we were jokingly referring to 9/11 as the elephant in the room, that third rail that no one wants to touch, of course the other massive one is Israel. You're a racist anti-Semite if you have problems with the criminal actions of the misleaders. And again, they play all the people off of each other as if we have some kind of stake in their game. We're the pawns in their game. So, video came. It was discovered. Netanyahu speaking freely on a couch. It's very relaxed, where he talks about lying to Clinton to basically screw up the U.S.-sponsored peace process between Israel and the Palestinians. The other thing we want to note is a couple of days ago, above the District of Criminals, NORAD was running terror drills and war games over the District of Criminals for Operation Noble Eagle. The Washington Post wrote a quick little bit about it as well, NBCWashington.com. North American Aerospace Defense Command conducted early morning exercises over the Washington area Tuesday and Wednesday mornings. Exercises have been conducted throughout the U.S. and Canada since the start of Operation Noble Eagle, the command's response to the terrorist attacks on September 11th. In a related note from the BBC, RAF jets take off in a hijacked planes terror test. So again, always trying to cast an eye on the terror drills and war games that are going on, because as we see going on, North Korea, South Korea, terror drills going on. That's the precise kind of spot in the fog of war that false flag events happen. And they've happened throughout history, and they're used to kickstart and to fast-forward agendas. So that's the first hour on secret leaks, war horrors, wider wars, and the future of the web. And it's all interconnected, and I implore you to go further down and do the research for yourself and come back and share it with MediaMonarchy.com. What I want to do now, my friends, yeah, let's do it. We started off with Ugly Truth. Let's get the whole war horrors taste out of our mouths before we go into all the other disgusting news on the Gulf oil spill and all the other news purge items. Let's get a little bit of the lies from Violent Femmes.
Well, I'm reading this poem and it's so profound, and I like its rhythm and I like its sound by a very famous poet. No critic can criticize, and then I pause a moment. He's telling lies, 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 lies. On the Motel TV, I dig the evangelist. He tell you all about that, and then he tell you all about this. He's preaching up a storm by the Sea of Galilee. He's mixing up the truth with something funny. I start to see he's telling lies, 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 lies. Oh, I never had this problem with nobody in the government. I guess I always figured they never mean what they meant. And God help us all not to be so stone surprised when we wake up in the stars with the skies in our eyes. If we keep telling lies, 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 lies.
Lies, lies, lies. Going way back with the late, great Violent Femmes. They actually played at my college at some point, I believe, in the late 90s. But that track, Lies, is from their fourth album, which is called Three. And ladies and gentlemen, we're now into hour number two of the 180th episode of Media Monarchy. We are broadcasting, streaming, live, as always, from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, streaming the PDX Pop Now Festival all this weekend exclusively on praradio.org. And of course, huge thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. They will be broadcasting live Clyde Lewis's show from the Kenton Masonic Lodge live tonight in Portland, Oregon, the 2012 show. And of course, RevereRadio.net, Berkeley Liberation Radio, One Sky Radio, Free Radio Olympia, Radio23.org, all those outlets. I guess a business note that I didn't mention at the beginning. I ended up turning on comment moderation. Not like I get tons of comments on Media Monarchy or Food World Order or Cyberspace War. But what I started to get was nothing but spammy comments. So I had to turn the moderation on. But again, I invite you to please comment and share info. Most of the folks are probably doing it over on facebook.com/Media Monarchy. But again, I always appreciate any kind of news tips. If you want to email them, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. So now we've hit dark marks indeed. Let's get to our latest BioWars EnviroHealth updates, but these are going to be just related to the Gulf oil spill, dark marks, and 100 days of oil.
Authorities say 126 people were doing routine work on the offshore drilling platform when it blew up Tuesday night.
BP, which is taking the lead in the cleanup, said it's activated an extensive oil spill response.
We have no shoreline impact at this time, and we continue to work with the Gulf Coast states to ensure the pre-positioning of oil skimmers and booms so we're prepared to immediately attack any spill if it migrates to shore.
We can't sit and wait for this stuff to come ashore and say we did our best. That's not good enough.
That stuff floating on top is oil. Oil so thick you can reach down and pick it up with your hand.
It's a northern gannet, that's a seabird. We are geared up and we are prepared for more birds. We haven't heard of any other birds at this moment.
Now you can see the aerial photographs, and it's coming in.
It's about the people of Louisiana doing everything we can to protect our coast, keep this oil out of our fragile wetlands, and protect our way of life down here.
I said, oh my God, we've got to be on that boat. And I focused all of my efforts from that point on getting us on that boat.
It was an eerie feeling because it was nighttime. It was lit up by lights. There's that cold, oily sea down below. And as it was being lowered in, it was like a, you know, it was almost, when they were unchaining this device, it's like they were unchaining King Kong.
What I would say is what we attempted to do last night didn't work because these hydrates plugged up the top of the dome.
Richard Pinnegar with Dolphin Fire Rescue found an area with dozens of tar balls.
That's tar.
The oranges and the crab cakes
get to a point where it's starting to get hard to get shrimp. And when we don't have no more shrimp, then we'll be out of business.
It's not even like motor oil. It's like used grease. You know how you can't get used grease, cooking grease off your hands? It kind of feels like it's got the same kind of texture to it.
This is a BP mess. It is a horrible mess. It is a massive environmental mess.
These were exceptional men. They were husbands and fathers, sons and brothers.
These little balls, these are the tar balls that we're talking about.
You know, I'd like my life back. So there's no one who wants this thing done more than I do.
The gulls were going down to get the fish that were landing on the oil and then getting stuck in the oil. So that's the reality of an oil spill.
Oil so thick it blocks out almost all of the light below. Because of the darkness, I stayed just 10 to 15 feet under the surface.
Tomorrow,
I will meet with the chairman of BP and inform him that he is to set aside whatever resources are required to compensate the workers and business owners who have been harmed as a result of his company's recklessness.
We care about the small people.
What I would characterize as a shakedown, in this case a $20 billion shakedown.
You had about this much shrimp on your po' boy. Everybody loves the shrimp po' boys here. Our waters are all around here. Our boys fished all the time to buy imported.
BP says oil from its broken well has stopped gushing into the Gulf of Mexico.
Do you know why this was inhibited on the Deepwater Horizon system?
They did not want people to look up at 3 o'clock in the morning due to false alarms.
A senior U.S. government official says BP chief executive Tony Hayward, under fire for his handling of the Gulf oil spill, is being replaced.
Well, there's no question we're going to learn a lot from this accident in the Gulf Coast. It's going to be about equipment, people, different companies. And as a result of that, we're going to learn a lot, both BP and the industry. And I'm sure there will be changes.
That little montage was put together, music and all, by the Associated Press, just going through the gruesome timeline of now over 100 days of oil. Corexit sprayed by BP tops 1 million gallons. More on that from Veterans Today, and that's going to be a key thing to note in just a moment. BP caught exploiting cheap prison labor to clean up oil spill. More on that from endoftheamericandream.com, as well as The Nation. BP hires prison labor to clean up spill while the coastal residents struggle. As we just heard at the end of that clip, BP CEO Tony Hayward is out. Of course, he's got a cozy job in Russia in the works. Because, of course, he knows where the money is. That's where the oil is, my friends. BP plans deep water drilling off Libya. That's from The Telegraph. We also, of course, have noted the oil spill in China. The latest this morning from Raw Story, U.S. expert notes China oil spill is far bigger than stated. But then we hop back to the States. Associated Press, mud and dead fish replace lake after Iowa dam break. U.S.-Canada pipeline leaks oil into the Michigan River. That's from the BBC. And then we hop back down to the Gulf of Mexico with a tug vessel hitting abandoned gas well in the Barataria waterway. Barge crashes into oil well in the Gulf. And there's raw footage of a new 20-foot-high oil gusher.
Good evening, I'm Angela Hill.
And I'm Dennis Wolfering. Tonight, the Coast Guard is investigating an accident between a push barge and a natural gas wellhead in the Barataria waterway.
Right now, the well is spewing gas and oil into the same water, already contaminated by the BP spill offshore. Paul Murphy reports it could take another day or two to cap the leak near Mud Lake, south of Lafitte.
As one Jefferson Parish official put it, the Barataria Basin just can't catch a break. Today, this was the scene on Bayou St. Denis near Mud Lake. A mix of natural gas, contaminated water, and light crude oil was spewing 100 feet in the air. According to the Coast Guard, the tug vessel Pierre Anastasie, pushing a dredge barge, struck an abandoned wellhead around 1 this morning.
The issue for the region right now is we have gas coming out of an uncontrolled wellhead. And so what we do not want to introduce into the region is an ignition source.
The accident happened halfway between Lafitte and Grand Isle near the very same water polluted by the BP oil spill. The well belongs to the now-defunct Sodeco Corporation of Houston, Texas. It's one of the many so-called orphan wellheads spread across Barataria Bay.
Barataria. So there you have it. So even more environmental catastrophes. And then it gets worse. So let's hop down to Mississippi, where we learn that Deepwater Horizon Gulf oil spill waste is being landfilled.
it is official. Oil-impacted waste recently collected along the Mississippi Gulf Coast has been dumped in the Pecan Grove landfill in Harrison County, despite the objections of county leaders.
And Harrison County Supervisor Connie Rocco joins us live now from Gulfport. Supervisor Rocco, you may not like it. I may not like it. The people who live around Pecan Grove may not like it. But waste management insists they are clearly permitted to handle this particular waste.
Well, I understand that, but we feel like that BP has dumped enough in Harrison County and on our beautiful beaches and destroyed our way of life and had a negative impact on us. And we feel that our landfill space is very valuable. And why should we fill it up with continued waste from BP?
Well, what do you suggest then, Connie, as far as a solution to get rid of the waste in a timely manner?
I'm very concerned that BP and other waste companies have not jumped on the chance to look at the new technology that's available, such as the polymetric. It takes the waste and reduces it at heat of about 600 to 1500 degrees and turns that waste into energy and also reduces it. And if you're going to have such a devastating event happen on your Mississippi Gulf Coast, which we have, why not leave something behind, such as an excellent way to minimize your waste and use that technology and leave that behind as opposed to all of your hazardous waste.
Okay, just a few seconds left, Supervisor Rocco. It seems to me that you guys have requested that waste management appear before the board. Apparently that's fallen on deaf ears, and you're actually talking about issuing subpoenas to waste management executives?
Yes, we did that yesterday. We asked that our attorney prepare the waste management subpoena to come before the Harrison County Board of Supervisors, I believe at next Monday's meeting.
Okay, well, we'll have to keep a close watch on that. Thank you very much, Supervisor Connie Rocco, joining us today.
Our last BioWars EnviroHealth notes here directly related to the oilacaine. The latest version of the CLEAR Act, slated for a floor vote in the House this week, as Democrats, of course, are looking for ways to use this Gulf oil spill as a means to pass elements of their unpopular energy agenda. However, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi stripped out authorization for an independent investigation into the Gulf disaster. Covering your tracks, never investigating the previous criminal puppets. We don't need to get bogged down in partisan politics. We need to look forward, they say, with their neuro-linguistic programming and their oracle hand gestures. So, all the latest Gulf oil updates segue nicely for us to hop over and get all the latest updates from foodworldorder.com, and we'll get the first from foodsafetynews.com, where First Lady Michelle Obama notes that the Gulf seafood is safe to eat. In an effort to bolster an embattled Gulf Coast economy, First Lady Michelle Obama joined the chorus of administration officials assuring the safety of Gulf seafood in a speech last Friday, July 23rd. We're all relieved that the leak appears to have been stopped for now, said Mrs. Obama during an event to christen a Coast Guard cutter in Pascagoula, Mississippi. Today I can share some more good news. About one-third of the federal waters in the Gulf that were closed to fishing, more than 25,000 square miles, have been reopened. Also, the seafood from these waters has been tested, and it is safe to eat. The White House announced late last week that the first family will vacation somewhere in the Gulf region in August to help boost tourism to a region struggling to maintain its reputation for beautiful beaches and high-quality seafood. As the Obamas seem to be on a PR campaign, on vacation, on The View, talking lowest common denominator pop culture garbage. So, much like, as we seem to reference more and more often lately, in all the correlations between 9/11 and Katrina and the Gulf oil spill, the air is safe to breathe at Ground Zero. The seafood is safe to eat in the Gulf. Our other note from foodworldorder.com comes by way of, again, I think as we've tried to note and point out and tip hats to all the great new alternative news sites that I can't even keep up with, ActivistPost.com is a great one. 7 secret ways we are being poisoned, and we'll hit the 7 briefly. But what we want to mention is that The objectives of the scientific method seem to have been hijacked by corporations who often pay for scientists to support their products, as well as politicians who move through the revolving door between the private and public sector. Even worse is that sometimes the consumer protection agencies themselves are complicit. Now, this article gets into greater detail, but I just gave you the 7 bullet points with a link to a pertinent article about each of the 7 secret ways we're being poisoned, such as GMO foods, food additives, fluoride, mercury, aspartame, personal care and cleaning products, that's a biggie, as well as airborne pollutants. That's all the latest from foodworldorder.com, and what we do want to mention, what I referred to, speaking of Corexit, and then First Lady says that, you know, the seafood's safe to eat, and the oil spill appears to have been fixed. That seems to be what everyone said. And again, we like to do the data mining and the memes and look at the signs and the words and the numbers and the dates and the clusters, the twilight language, the copycat effect, all of those things, the sinister forces, if you will, the occult overlay to so much of what we discuss here. And that's kind of the edge that a lot of folks won't go beyond. They want to stay still in the limited hangout, coincidence theory, accidental version of history. WikiLeaks, stopping the oil leak, leak memes. It's all so replete. A couple of other alternative news notes. Again, my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. He does a live show on KUFO here in Portland, Oregon every Sunday night. That is broadcast, simulcast live on ZeroPointRadio.com. That's where you can get the archives. His episode this past Sunday is called No Russian to the Moon. The title being a pun on hurrying to the moon and, of course, the Soviet Union. I guess that's a bit of a breakneck turn for us, not discussing anything of the sort up until this point on this episode 180 of MediaMonarchy.com. But what we want to mention, and what we mentioned at the top of the show, is that Clyde Lewis is doing his monthly live appearance at the Kenton Masonic Lodge tonight, going to do his 2012 show. So this will be his 3rd event at the Kenton Masonic Lodge. He's done the Antichrist show, the Roswell show, and now the 2012 show, kind of hitting the big areas of alternative research and debunking the hell out of all of them and doing it in such a great way that only Clyde Lewis can do it. You can get virtual tickets and listen to that show live tonight thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com, and your support will help keep them going. Otherwise, we may lose them. If you find these alternative news outlets beneficial, enlightening, enriching, please throw a few bucks their way. We, of course, also want to mention the latest episodes and videos and interviews and all the great work from CorbettReport.com, episode 139, Know Your History, Colonial Script. Now, we know that the banksters have enslaved society in a perpetual cycle of debt servitude, webofdebt.com, but what's to be done? So in this episode 138 on Colonial Script, they go into the history of an example of people taking the power of money creation into their own hands. What did we talk about last week? Competing currencies being accepted across Michigan. We even discussed the Cascadia Hour Exchange from here in the Pacific Northwest. Competing currencies are going to become much more prevalent in the new financial world order. As again, as we've said, once we can get people to figure out that we can make our own food and entertainment and news, then maybe things can really change. We can take our money out of the banks. Tons of new interviews from Corbett Report with Lieutenant Eric Schein on Coast Guard and martial law preparations, Bill Murphy on Economics 101 talking about gold manipulation, interviews with Will Thomas, the aforementioned Ellen Brown of Web of Debt, of course the Sunday Update videos, and of course NewWorldNextWeek.com. So again, I can't say it enough on this show, all the other fantastic outlets that again make what I do here possible. and hopefully in not some kind of echo chamber repeating kind of way, but that we can share and grow and learn. We now make it to another news purge, my friends, the July 29th news purge, Ugly Truth and Lies, of course, both being the titles of our two tracks that we've heard from Matthew Sweet and the Violent Femmes, respectively. But this one's going to get into all the other things that we haven't discussed and even things that we have that will further flesh out the picture and, again, give you the contextual supplemental information to help try and make sense of all this. So we start off this news purge with the latest 9/11 updates. We had two people pulled off a Toronto plane because they watched a 9/11 video on their phone and someone got a little uncomfortable and ratted them out and they were thrown off the plane. We also learned this morning that the House has rejected a bill to aid sick 9/11 responders. And again, even if you believe in the official stories, they don't even take care of you for helping fight their battles. Our last 9/11 note is an important one and another great one from 911blogger.com that gets into some of the history mystery of the official conspiracy theory of 9/11. This new article is called, Do the Orders Still Stand? Who was he? Now, to give you a little bit of background on this story, we'll remind you and play the quick clip of the Transportation Secretary of the time, Norman Mineta. This is a C-SPAN clip broadcast pretty much only once, but of course, fortunately, saved, where he's talking to Lee Hamilton, and he's talking about the shoot-down orders.
I wanted to focus just a moment on the Presidential Emergency Operating Center. You were there for a good part of the day. I think you were there with the Vice President. And we had that order given, I think it was by the President, that authorized the shooting down of commercial aircraft that were suspected to be controlled by terrorists. Were you there when that order was given?
No, I was not. I was made aware of it during the time that the airplane coming in to the Pentagon. There was a young man who would come in and say to the Vice President, the plane is 50 miles out. The plane is 30 miles out. And when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the Vice President, do the orders still stand? And the Vice President turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
Now, of course, you probably heard that clip. Hopefully you have. But this new article that gets into great detail on who was this guy, we've never heard it. This article seems to point to naval aide Douglas Cochran. This story being an essential element in the official conspiracy theory of 9/11. But again, unfortunately, we don't have time to get into deep detail. A couple of unrelated to the Gulf oil spill BioWars Enviro Health notes. Bisphenol A, disputed chemical, BPA, has been found in paper receipts, sourcing back to grocery stores. More on that from the Washington Post. From CantonRep.com, new immunization requirements for Ohio students this fall. Get your yummy vaccines filled with mercury and squalene. And, of course, don't ever say that they ever lead to any detrimental health effects. Our last Enviro Health note, the FDA has approved a new permanent birth control.
You know, for decades, women have been looking for less invasive options to permanently prevent pregnancy.
Now there's a new type of contraception that can be done in minutes under local anesthesia. The FDA approved a procedure called the Adiana system. There are no incisions or cuts. An instrument delivers low-level radio frequency energy to each fallopian tube. A tiny insert about the size of a grain of rice is then placed in each tube.
We place this little spongy material inside, we'd kind of drop it there. Then the body forms scar tissue around the spongy material and just seals everything shut.
The procedure cannot be reversed.
Oh, yeah, by the way. the covert eugenics agenda becoming more and more overt by the day. But on to the drug war updates. This story by way of KeysNews.com. Judge orders life sentence for Florida Keys drug smuggler. An admitted drug smuggler who carried millions of dollars in hash oil and marijuana in the keels of sailboats through the Florida Keys will spend the rest of his life in prison, a federal judge ruled Monday. But if we jump down several paragraphs, we see that this guy, Jürgen Heinz Williams, raised eyebrows when he admitted under oath to smuggling drugs, but did so, he testified, while acting as an operative of the U.S. State Department. He later fired his attorney for not bringing that pertinent point up to jurors. Drug smuggling always seems to run back to the folks who supposedly are there to stop it. Funny how that works on a multitude of levels. We've also got the border war, drug war, race war brewing more and more destructively. That again, even if you believe in the phony global war of terror, don't you think we probably would have gone after the drug gangs to the south of the border? Of course, there's a much larger agenda at play. And of course, Arizona being ground zero for that right now in the cultural football. But we have drug mafias invading Texas and tons of local and regional news reports to back it up. But our last drug war note would be a positive drug story, and we have another positive drug story that would make Bill Hicks proud coming up in a few minutes. But Denver pot reviewer gets paid to get high. More on that from clicktohouston.com. As we're talking about all these phony financial regulation bills, and again, the controlled demolition of our fiat economy, where the Federal Reserve makes money out of thin air and loans it to us with interest, usury. U.S. taxpayers may be on the hook for as much as $23.7 trillion to bolster the economy and bail out financial companies, said Neil Barofsky, Special Inspector General for the Treasury's Troubled Asset Relief Program. That's the TARP. Remember the bailout, that supposedly $700 billion bank investment program? That's just a fraction. We're on the hook for $23.7 trillion, although, just as we've already noted, they can't keep track of the other billions and millions and trillions that they're spending in countries abroad on the pallets of cash and paying off all the sides, playing both ends against the middle. Gold, oil, and drugs. Drugs fund Wall Street. All these things we've discussed time and time again. But we had the recent financial regulation bill that, again, as we've always kind of quipped, you're always going to see the bankster saying, please don't throw me into the briar patch. But what do we discover? And amazingly enough, Fox Business. That's what's so fascinating in the phony left-right paradigm about who puts out good news when, depending on when their guy is in power, in favor, or out of favor, and which side is energized and which side goes back to sleep because their team's in power. The Securities and Exchange Commission says the new financial regulation law exempts it from public disclosure.
President Obama hailed the new FinReg legislation as increasing transparency. You can get inside, you can see what's going on, he says. But Fox Business has discovered a provision in the law that suggests otherwise. Adam Shapiro joins us with this exclusive story. What's going on, Adam?
Very simply, the SEC right now, under the new financial regulatory flaw, not law, but flaw, has exemption from Freedom of Information Act request. It's a very broad clause, which basically gives them what I would call a get-out-of-jail-free card, that they no longer have to comply with the request. Now, why is this something that you and 310 million other Americans should care about? Put your hands out, Stuart.
Yes.
All right. This is the Marco Polo's original letter to the SEC saying Mr. Madoff was a fraud.
Okay.
This right here is a survey the SEC sent out in 2005 to investors in Alan Stanford's industry,
right,
in which they're asking, you think he's a Ponzi scheme? You want me to keep going? All of these documents we obtained, I got a whole pile. This has all been obtained by Fox Business through the Freedom of Information Act request. None of this would be public had the SEC not complied. Well, they did. And as a result, we learned that they knew about Stanford long before it blew up. They knew about Madoff long before it blew up. And they admit they blew it.
Okay.
But now the question, because of the new financial regulatory flaw,
yeah,
How do you find out if the SEC blew it?
That's the idea. And we see the same organizations being put in charge of the cover-up that caused the operation and then selling us on their supposed solution that they already had written in advance. They just needed the political capital and the fear of the populace to be able to ram it down our throats. Over 160,000 Michigan utility shutoffs so far from January to May this year. And our last econo crash note from NBC DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth. Small Texas city terminates all but two people in their police force. As we've noted, the crumbling police forces, again, all by design. That, as things break down, there won't even be the guise of law and order. But we're going to see more outsourcing. We're going to see more private military contractors coming in and acting as the policy enforcement officers. As we make our way down the news purge list, getting into geopolitics, we've got one from Of Goats and Men. Japanese tanker damaged in the Straits of Hormuz. And we have to unfortunately ask the question, is this another Chinon in the making? From the Associated Press, an explosion damaged a Japanese oil tanker Wednesday as it steered through the tense waters at the mouth of the Persian Gulf, where the ship's owner said the vessel possibly came under attack. Always watching the fog of war, the false flag catalyzing catastrophic events, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the sinking of the Maine, Pearl Harbor, Reichstag, 9/11. Some unpleasant possibilities to consider in the aftermath of what appears to have been an attack on a Japanese VLCC. And of course, if this is another Chinon in the making, why pick a Japanese false flag scenario? With two U.S. aircraft carriers in the vicinity, one would imagine we should have a pretty good picture of what really happened. Something tells us the official explanation of an earthquake as responsible for the boat damage just won't fly. More on that from ZeroHedge.com. The other geopolitical note could have fit under other subheadings, but here it is from Cryptagon on that dashing, hot, young elite, David de Rothschild. Of course, connected to the live Earth psyops and the greenwashing scheme being fed to us again by the Rothschilds. He spent a whole bunch of time on a little experimental, you know, recycled craft, which, that's great. There are some interesting photos when he finally made it back to land, when he greets with some of the dignitaries as they make dockside. He's given a fantastic Masonic handshake, straight out of Morals and Dogma. You gotta see the photo from Cryptagon. He's also photographed wearing his Skull and Bones belt buckle. The Death's Head belt buckle that, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger is so fond of wearing. On to the Holy Hexes, the pop culture, if you will, where, fascinatingly enough, UK government acts to prevent arrest of Pope Joey Ratzinger, ex-Hitler Youth. The UK government is said to have set in motion a law change that will prevent the Pope from being arrested when he visits the country in September. Officials in Whitehall, the UK government's administrative offices, are said to be worried over plans by the atheist authors Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens to have Pope Benedict arrested for crimes against humanity because of his alleged cover-up of priestly assaults on children. We can only hope that we'll see more citizens' arrests. And again, as I've often joked, hoping for the day one morning I wake up and see that some plane Kissinger has been on was diverted to Chile and he got picked up. But tying in intimately with that story, in more than one way, from the Daily Mail, gay priest sex scandal as undercover Berlusconi reporter films clerics at gay clubs. With the photos for you to see. Now, as we get into our media and memes, this is something that now relates all the way back to the secret leaks and the wider wars and the future of the web in the wake of these WikiLeaks, in the wake of the mass inroads that alternative media, 9/11 truth, vaccine truth, money truth, all the truth movements out there, all the real grassroots, not the things co-opted by the establishment, all turns around as a crackdown on the web, all leading back to you must get your news from the Alphabet Agency. We are the purveyors of gospel. Anything else is just lies and distortions from anonymous people. So here we have CNN, the corporate news network, calling for a crackdown on bloggers.
There are so many great things that the internet does and has to offer. But at the same time, Kira, as you know, there is this dark side where anyone's enemy can take something nasty and post it on the internet. And maybe it doesn't rise to the level as it did with Shirley Sherrod, but it still gets out there among a certain community and does damage to that person's reputation. Imagine what would have happened if we hadn't taken a look at what happened with Shirley Sherrod and plumbed the depths further and found out that what had been posted on the internet was not, in fact, reflective of what she said. Would she still be without a job? Would her reputation still be ruined? That, to some degree, is the effect of what many people might consider to be a wild west of the internet, where anybody can post anything they want about anyone. Andrew Keen is the author of The Cult of the Amateur, How Blogs, MySpace, YouTube, and Other User-Generated Media Are Killing the American Economy, the Culture, and Our Values. Here's what he says about this idea that people can post whatever they want about anyone and many times, probably more times than not, get away with it.
What I think it reflects is a certain sort of paranoia about media, an obsession with conspiracy, a kind of a lunacy that reflects us, an extremism, a bitterness, but also a degree of responsibility. I think this case is interesting because it shows the worst of the internet in the sense that someone printed a lie or published a lie, which then was virally spread and almost ruined her life. But then part of the internet and also mainstream media guys like you came to the rescue. And you sorted the case out. You showed that it was a lie. You revealed the fact, the reality, the truth, which was actually the very opposite of what was published.
But John, we can't always do that. I mean, there's going to have to be a point in time where these people have to be held accountable. How about all these bloggers that blog anonymously? They say rotten things about people, and they're actually given credibility, which is crazy. They're a bunch of cowards. They're just people seeking attention. So what does this guy propose that we can do about it?
Well, what Andrew talked about with me was this idea of a gatekeeper, but there are huge First Amendment rights that come into play here, freedom of speech and all of that. And he said that the people who need to be the gatekeepers are the media to check into these stories. But for every Shirley Sherrod story that there is, there's probably 100,000 other ones that never rise to the level of attention that we would look into them. So I don't know what you do about all of those people. And we see them, people who are bullied on the internet, who commit suicide, others whose reputations have been ruined. Andrew was also pointing to companies that try to ruin other companies by posting false information on their websites. And to this idea of anonymous blogging, we chatted about that a little bit off camera. And to some degree, the internet is like a giant worldwide bathroom wall that you can write anything you want about anyone under an anonymous pseudonym. Now, somebody's going to have that information. But, you know, I've always thought that if you're going to say something, if you're going to criticize someone in a public forum, have the courage to, at the very least, put your name on it. I mean, the better thing would be if you've got a criticism for someone, say it to their face.
Right.
But at the very least, have the, whatever you want to call them, to put your name to it.
Sure, I think that's what we all want because it's very unfair. And, you know, we talk about writing on a bathroom wall, but come on, you can go, you can spray paint over that. That's one wall for the world. You know, the whole world's not going to see that. I mean, we're talking about, it's not just freedom of First Amendment, and I know that's what they all claim. It's freedom of defamation many times. And what does Andrew say about, is there going to come a point where something's going to have to be done legally? There's got to be some point where there's some accountability. And companies, especially within the media, have to stop giving these anonymous bloggers credit or credibility. I guess that's a better word.
As you know, the ubiquitous nature of the internet and the way that it gathers together factions and divides others, you're going to have allies of certain people who comment or blog anonymously. Now, it's not to say that anonymous blogging doesn't have its place. I mean, if you're in a place like Iran or North Korea or something like that, anonymous blogging is the only way you could ever get your point of view out without being searched down and thrown in jail or worse. But when it comes to a society like ours, an open society, you know, do there have to be some checks and balances, not national, but maybe website to website on who comments on things. But we didn't really have time to get into what you do about those people. But it's a matter of, you know, you really have to beware. You have to be aware of what you post on the internet, which is why I always caution young people, never post a naked photograph of yourself on the internet. But as for the rest of it, these are very thorny issues that we're going to have to deal with. Now, surely Sherrod may take this in a new direction if she actually does pursue a defamation suit, as she said she might, against Andrew Breitbart.
Yeah,
I mean, she has the power now. And she also has the profile to maybe bring this into a new light. So we'll see where this goes.
Well, and a lot of people will jump on board, that's for sure. It's a subject we could talk about for a long time.
And I'm sure you will. Anonymous bloggers destroying America. Well, my name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. And as of now, I don't have to have a license to do what I'm doing. But if the corporate-controlled outlets have their way, we'll have to. Further down the media memes list, a new study shows that journalists are starting to accept the fact that their print publications will eventually fold. That's from BusinessInsider.com. Newsbusters.org is all blustering about Oliver Stone, even though he's got a movie out now about Cuba. He's got a new series, The Secret History of America, which I believe title has already been taken. But he's going to put the Jewish-dominated media that prevents Hitler from being portrayed in context. Now, of course, he's being destroyed. However, he's right. Hitler was funded by the same Western finance oligarchs, like Ford, like the Rockefellers, connected to eugenics, Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, all of those outlets, and the occult overlay. But, you know, Stalin killed 20-plus million, but we don't compare that. Alan Moore turns down offer to regain rights to Watchmen in exchange for authorizing sequels. That's from Technicult. 25 years later, Brazil still enthralls Terry Gilliam's classic dystopic film. Roman Polanski faces another rape allegation. This from the Boston Herald. And again, we follow the Polanski story and always reference folks back to my landmark interview with Peter Lavenda on Sinister Forces. Kings of Leon had to stop a concert due to pigeon poop. There's a great article called From Braveheart to Big Fan, charting basically what men have turned into. And our last media meme note comes from Larry Hagman, appearing on the Joy Behar Show, talking about whether or not he had a crush on Barbara Eden. However, this is the other positive drug story that would make Bill Hicks smile. Larry Hagman notes that all politicians should try LSD.
Well, for example, I read that David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash turned you on to LSD. What was that like? Tell me a little about that.
How much time we got?
30, about a minute. But you can do a lot in a minute.
A minute?
Yeah.
Okay, it took the fear of death away.
Really? That's a great answer.
Yeah.
That's a great answer. But did it hold?
Yeah.
Do you have to keep taking it to not be scared? No, did it hold? Did the lack of fear, the losing fear of death, sure,
absolutely. Once you've lost the fear of death, it doesn't matter.
What happened to you? How did that manifest?
Oh, my dear. Have you heard of the white light? Have you ever heard of that?
Only when I'm going into Jersey.
Well, I went into this place that was the white light where everything's okay.
Well, that is, I think that's worth taking. Yeah.
And I think it ought to be mandatory that all our politicians should do it at least once.
That's a good suggestion. You know, I remember reading that Cary Grant went on an acid trip also in the old days. So a lot of Hollywood people seem to like LSD.
Yes, and college students and high school students and doctors and lawyers and dentists and, yeah.
There you have it. But on down the rabbit hole, into the murder and mayhem. 19 killed in a stampede at Germany's Love Parade. Pakistan jet crash kills 152 people near Islamabad. Crash of an experimental plane killed 2 in western Pennsylvania. We also have police investigating NBA star Lorenzen Wright's death as a homicide. And we also note, finally, on Murder and Mayhem from AllGov, that law enforcement officers' deaths are again on the rise. These all being horrific signposts on the road to a new world order. Obamasiah and the Apostles of War. Again, we make no distinction between party lines. They're both corrupt and completely controlled in both wings of the phony bird flying the same direction. Obama, The View, and Spin Control, of course, appearing on The View to chat about Lindsay Lohan and other dumbed-down media garbage. But again, it's all about PR to raise flagging approval ratings. Arnold Schwarzenegger, speaking of Skull and Bones, son of a Nazi, he's going to speak at the Bohemian Grove this weekend. More on that, again, from PressDemocrat.com, the only news outlet I see following this year's Bilderberg, or rather, Bohemian Group meeting in the California Redwoods. Three-quarters of oil and gas lobbyists work for the government. Again, the revolving door, private, back to the government. Corporations have taken over the government. That's fascism. Napolitano's Homeland Stupidity filtered all their FOIA requests through political aides, little hot potatoes they didn't know what to do with. Now, we've got something about Rangel coming up in just a minute, but in light of his new National Service Slave Act, he's also facing public trial before an ethics committee.
Now to the new ethics charges facing one of the longest-serving members of Congress. Today, New York Democrat Charlie Rangel said he will fight the charges, and he'll do so publicly, on camera, during a House Ethics Committee trial set for later this summer. John Carl has more now from Washington.
Charlie Rangel is defiant, angry about the charges, and vowing to clear his name.
Are you looking forward to this battle?
No, hell no. Nobody in this right mind be looking forward to something like this public. I want to make certain that before this election, people know who Charlie Rangel was and who is and proud to be.
The allegations are serious, including accepting four luxury rent-controlled apartments from a New York developer. He paid about $4,000 a month. They're worth twice that much. Allegedly helping a donor to the Charles Rangel Center in New York save $500 million in taxes. Failure to pay his own taxes on rental income from a villa he owns in the Caribbean. The Ethics Committee has been investigating all of this in secret for 2 years and tried to avoid a trial by getting Rangel to admit wrongdoing. He refused.
And it's kind of awkward to explain that to your kids and grandkids, what you see in the front page. But hey, I'm in the kitchen and I'm not walking out.
Now Rangel faces a public trial before the Ethics Committee, something we haven't seen since Democrat James Traficant faced charges of bribery and tax evasion.
Oh, well, and it all must be kicking in now, because right now at the top of Google News on this July 30th, 2010, episode 180, Charlie Rangel, list of charges. Our last note on the criminal cronies, Congress critters, Obamasiah and the Apostles of War and all the phony left-right paradigms. The Labor Department rejects 98% of whistleblower protection requests, that following on the heels of last week's story that the Obama administration is worse on whistleblowers than the previous puppet administration. But on to the Oregon oddities. And another update on the Gore sex scandal. He has now been interviewed by Portland detectives.
Portland police detectives have interviewed former Vice President Al Gore about allegations that he sexually abused a Portland massage therapist. A law enforcement source confirms to K2 News that Portland detectives interviewed Gore on Thursday in San Francisco. A Portland massage therapist claims Gore made unwanted sexual advances toward her when she gave him a massage at a Portland hotel in 2006. Two other massage therapists have also claimed in the Inquirer that Gore made unwanted sexual advances toward them.
Oh, Portland, home of the salacious sex scandal. The other note that goes along right with that, 25 years later, Dee Snider, the lead singer of Twisted Sister, gets the last word. He went on the Wendy Williams show, and I misplaced the clip and don't have it for you here, but you'll recall he spoke to Congress against the PMRC, the Parents Music Resource Center, the Tipper Gore and all the rich senators' wives who got together to do something for the children. John Denver, Frank Zappa, and Dee Snider all gave eloquent remarks to Congress. And now, 25 years later, in light of Al and Tipper Gore breaking up and these sex allegations that are only growing and growing, Dee Snider notes that he's still married and his kids have never been busted for drug possession. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be elite sons of senator, son, bankster politicians. Our police state notes, the future is being written right now. A great article from oldthinkernews.com. Privacy concerns raised as Walmart puts smart tags on men's clothing. That's right, more on that from the Boston Globe, adding RFID tags Minority Report becoming more of a reality by the day, again, in the incrementalism, slowly turning it up. However, on a positive note, we, the people, will not be chipped. Positive ID, the company formerly known as VeriChip, has axed marketing its scary medical records implant, its medical RFID implant. Why are they dropping it? No one wants it. And again, Charlie Rangel, H.R. 5741, the Universal National Service Act in committee. And again, we're going to see all kinds of dastardly deeds done by our Congress critters before they scurry back to their home districts for the August break. And of course, we always watch out during the August break. That's when our misleaders seem to miss important memos warning about imminent attacks. Police and activists were preparing days ahead of the Arizona law, but of course at the last minute a judge stepped in and blocked the racial profiling, the most egregious parts of this Arizona immigration law. But again, this is all a part of the larger agenda. And our final note on the news purge under West Virginia worry, by way of digitaljournal.com, protesters chained to coal mining equipment arrested. But we do have time to quickly hop over and get the last little bit of updates from the other sister site in the monarchy kingdom, cyberspacewar.com. U.S. declares iPhone jailbreaking legal over Apple objections from threat level. Federal regulators lifted a cloud of uncertainty when they announced it was lawful to hack or jailbreak an iPhone, declaring Monday there was no basis for copyright law to assist Apple in protecting its restrictive business model. We now hop over to the DEF CON 729, an ugly list of headlines, leaky lawsuits. You know, it goes right along with the secret leaks. 100 million Facebook pages, quote-unquote, leaked on torrent site. Of course, they're not leaked. They're publicly available. Someone just harvested all the names from all the millions of folks who haven't changed their privacy settings. And there is a torrent, and I downloaded it. Hackers shut down EU carbon trading website. That's good news from The Guardian. Bad news from Gizmodo is that essentially seven people have been entrusted with keys to the internet. And then around the world, from the Sydney Morning Herald, ISPs spying on Australians. And the only government document that's been seen is, of course, heavily redacted. Minority Report technology used by UK police to predict crime. That's pre-crime. Tokyo trials digital billboards that scan passers-by. And then back to the States. U.S. wants increased police access to email. Surprise, surprise. All these things going on in the cyberspace war, all being brought about by the hacked presidency of Barry Satoru. But our final note on cyberspace war in the news, put on the record, and again, it's all laid out for you here. If you're only listening to the show, you're only getting a part of all the information, a path, if you will, laid out for you to do more research, and again, come back to the cave and tell us that we're staring at shadows on the wall. A story we've been following since the beginning of this year on cyberspacewar.com has a fortunate update. A second student has now thrown in to sue the school district over the laptop webcam Spygate story.
A legal dispute over whether these school-issued computers have been used to invade the privacy of students in a school district near Philadelphia has ignited again. A second lawsuit has been filed against the Lower Merion School District by a student who says the district activated remote tracking software after he left the laptop in school last December. The district activated the surveillance software to try to track down dozens of missing computers, but Jaleel Hassan says even though the laptop was returned within days, the software stayed on for about 2 months. His mother says the whole family's been affected.
I feel like my privacy has been compromised because of the laptop being brought into the home, and every time Jaleel opened it, it was taking pictures.
Hassan graduated from Lower Merion High School last spring. The suit alleges his computer took more than 1,000 photos in all.
That's like scary because who, you know, watching me doing what I'm doing at home is really scaring me.
The family of this student, Blake Robbins, is also suing the school district for allegedly violating privacy. This is a picture that a school-issued computer snapped of him sleeping at home. Robbins' attorney says the software was activated even though the computer was never missing. He's also representing the Hassan family in their legal dispute. The attorney who represents the school district declined comment. Brian Thomas, The Associated Press.
like the Manic Street Preachers sang, if you tolerate this, your children will be next. Quickly now, let's glance at just a few of the creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. We track them through StatCounter.com, and we post them up with their IP address just because it's really fascinating to see who's coming to your website and why. We had the National Aeronautics and Space Association, that's NASA, out of the Stennis Space Center in Mississippi. They Googled DOD document link leak. The Social Security Administration out of Baltimore, Maryland, Googled MediaMonarchy.com. And lastly, we had the Naval Ocean Systems Center somewhere out there in the signal intelligence world. And that's going to do it, my friends, for this massive 180th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. It's July 30th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. Again, reminding you, live tonight on ZeroPointRadio.com, Clyde Lewis and his 2012 presentation from GroundZeroMedia.org. And that's what it's all about, my friends. And that's why we will continue to do the data mining and the analysis of the open source intelligence so we can all get better while we still can, while we have all of these little tools and gadgets that let us communicate. Like we always say, we say a couple of things here, and they're both true. They're both always true. Don't hate the media. Become the media. And of course, now more than ever, get active. Or get radioactive. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, PRAradio.org, the New World Next Week video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail Media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.